The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. A young man approached Jesus and said, "Teacher, what good must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus answered him, "Why do you ask me about the good? There is only one who is good. If you wish to enter life, keep the commandments." And he asked him, "Which ones?" Jesus replied, "You shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All of these I have observed. What still do I lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be perfect, go and sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." When the young man heard this statement, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, there's a lot of layers to this gospel. Maybe if we work backwards, you know, at begin at the end of the gospel, and we can start to sort of peel back the layers a little. It says here that after Jesus tells him, "Sell all you have and come and follow me," it says that the young man went away sad because he had many possessions. Now, you see, one of the problems about being wealthy or rich is that it first of all entangles us with the world. You know, to put it maybe this way, when you're rich, you have a lot to lose. At least you think you have a lot to lose, because really this world isn't much more than a lot of sand and water. But in the end, we the illusion is that it's a lot and we have a lot to lose. Okay, now. And because of that, this entangles us with the world. It makes it difficult for us to be free enough to follow the Lord. It entangles us with the world in such a way that when the Lord asks us to act in ways that seems radical, we don't feel free to act. Well, what about my stock portfolio? What about my house? What about my Bethany Beach house? You know, I mean, and I have a lot to lose. I remember one time speaking to a fairly wealthy person about biblical tithing, and they kind of scoffed, and they said, "Father, do you know what 10% of my income is?" And I said, "Well, I wouldn't guess." And he said, "Well, all I know is I'm not giving that much to the church." He had things to do. He had important things to do with that money. Like he had to make a payment on his boat, and he had to make a payment on the beach house, things like that. So anyway, but in other words, when you suggest something like tithing, it's too radical because they quote have a lot to lose, and they're very entangled with the world. Another example using money to show you how this happens. I was in a parish in a fairly well-to-do suburb for a brief time, and good folks there. But what I found was that in a way they had a lot less disposable income than people in poorer parishes where I've been. For example, when I was out in far southeast, and the reason for this is that they may have had more income, more money, but they were more. They had more they needed to do with it. It wasn't. They still were kind of living beyond their means. You know, they had two and three matching SUVs. They had to make payments on these things, and they had the kid in braces. And it wasn't enough to send them to the Catholic school. They wanted to send them to the more elite private school, and so on. And so, in other words, although they had more money technically, they were more tied in with the world in such a way that there was actually less what I would call disposable income. They were living well beyond their means in a way. So this happens to us when we have a lot of possessions. We have a lot to lose, and we're very tied in, you see, with the world. Now, the other thing is we work backwards. Another layer to this young man's problem is that when you're wealthy, you tend to think that you can buy your way, and you have the illusion of having power. So what do I need to do to inherit eternal life, he asks? Well, get out of the way and die and let God live in you. But I mean, you know, that's, no, you don't understand. I want to know how much should I make the check out for? I want to know, you know, if we're sick, we want to go and pay the doctor so we get well. If we're in legal trouble, we go pay the lawyer and so on. See, when you're wealthy, you have this idea that somehow you ought to just sort of be able to buy your way out of stuff. And, you know, the very, very poor have to actually trust God. You know? But the wealthy just say, well, where's my wallet? You know, I don't want to have to spend the money, but what the heck, let's get it done, you know. And there's this illusion that somehow I can buy my way through this. Just do a few things. It may be a little painful, but basically I can manage, you know. And that's the illusion that wealth keeps. So he starts out with this with this attitude. He says, teacher, what good must I do to inherit eternal life? In other words, how big should I write the check for? You know, what are some of the specific things that I need to do so that I can inherit eternal life? And the answer is, you don't ask questions like that. You say, how can I learn to radically trust God? Because I can't even come close. I mean, to gain eternal life is so far beyond anything I could ever do that all I got to do is get on my knees and say, "Have mercy on me, Lord, a sinner," and just hope that you know, He will, and then of course He will, but enter my life and begin to radically transform me, and begin to, you know, pry my fingers off this world that I'm grabbing onto so tightly, you know. But it's not as though you can just, you know, find a rocket ship that's strong enough to fly to heaven. I mean, you can't build a ladder that's tall enough. It's not a question of being able to do it. It's a question of being able to receive it as a gift, but with this understanding that I have to yield and allow God to really take over in my life. Now that is a frightening thing, you know. I don't remember that old cartoon. There's a guy hanging from a cliff, from a cliff there, and it says he's saying, "Help, God, help!" And God answers from heaven, "Let go, and I'll catch you." The guy in the next frame says, "Is there anybody else up there?" You know, we don't want to radically trust God that much. You know, it's like, okay, look, man. You know, come on, make it manageable. I can write a check. I can do a few good deeds. But so, in other words, let's keep this whole thing manageable. And the rich have a harder time sort of letting go because A, they have so much to lose, and B, their attitude is, "Look, man, I don't know if I'm ready to to trust. I'm just used to buying my way through life." Okay, and then the other layer, one of the layer I want to talk to you about is minimalism. What do I have to do? And Jesus plays with him a little. He says, "Keep the commandments," and then he says, "Which ones? Which ones?" You know. And so Jesus said, he lists five of the, he lists seven of them, actually, of the commandment. Boom, 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 boom. And in the end, the man says, "I've done all these." And which ones? But you see, this is, of course, the human condition. We want to get it on sale. You know, whatever we got to do. What's the least I have to do in order to just get by? All right, if I got to love my neighbor, would you please define neighbor? Because we got to keep this thing manageable now. Okay, well, look, I'll love my countrymen, but I can still hate my enemy, right? Okay, you see. So, in other words, we want to keep the whole thing manageable. And again, instead of radically trusting God to completely transform us so that I even love my enemy, and I'm not asking dumb questions like, "Who's my neighbor?" But still, again, we want to keep the whole thing, you see, within manage. So we become minimalistic. We were minimal. And now, I keep talking about the rich, the rich, the rich. Well, guess what? We're the rich. You said, no, wait a minute, my income isn't enough. I don't qualify to be rich. You're rich. You live in America. Alright? Don't forget that. So I'm not here to pick on the rich. I'm not saying all these rich people, look at them. But I'm saying this, that in a way we're all the rich, because you see, we're very skilled and adept, most of us, at managing worldly resources. We don't really want to die. We want to keep this thing. I want the world, and I want God, and let's see if we can negotiate. And the Lord's saying, look, man, you can't have it that way. You got to either forsake the world and give your life to me, or you can have the world and die and go to hell. See, but we want it both ways. And this young man is us, and we're trying to negotiate a deal with God instead of saying, look, all I can do, left to my own resources, is go to hell. So, looks like all I can do, I'm the guy on the cliff now, I'm hanging there, and God says, let go and I'll catch you. And at some level, we have to be poor enough to say, okay, see, that's all I've got. I'm just going to have to trust God. And he's going to be doing some stuff that I might not like. He may ask me to let go of some things, but he'll get me there. But in the end, all I can do is really trust God. And I can't negotiate a deal here. This is the situation. I either let go and trust him, or I hang on, and there is no one else up there, and eventually I fall and die anyway. So, I don't know if I've done a completely good job of trying to peel back some of these layers, but there's layers about control, there's layers about entanglements to the world, there's layers about minimalism, you know, being minimalistic, and so on. And in the end, God says, all right, heck with all of that, see? Let go and trust me. And will we be like the young man who went away sad? Or will we say, all right, Lord, looks like I got to take you up on the deal. And in order to really say that, frankly, we've got to get in touch with our poverty. You're not going to be able to build a rocket ship that's powerful enough. You're not going to have a ladder that's tall enough. You can't just do a few more spiritual push-ups and think you're going to get there, because your debt is impossibly high. All you can do is say, get on your knees and say, Lord, I know how, because I got a strong-willed, stiff-necked thing called the flesh. But in the end, I want to try to trust you more and just let go of all of my worldly attitudes and resources. So, Lord, I don't even know what it means yet, but just begin. I want to trust you. Amen.